Look at that title. Man, I tell you what, I got some tears in my eyes right now. That's a beautiful song. We've sang several beautiful songs tonight. And a few weeks ago, not knowing that I would get the opportunity to preach tonight, I was flipping through some notes in one of my file cabinets in there. And I came across this title. Wasn't a title of a sermon I had written, but just it was a little CD. It said, "The Healer is Here." And that stuck in my mind and went out. And then today, it came back in my mind. And so this is a message God has prepared tonight. And there's the title. And we just heard that song from Miss Becky. So I believe God has got something going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to tell you what I'm going to do here at the beginning because it's a little different. And this is a kind of a special part for the children, but for everybody else too. I'm going to do a little drama here. I'm going to be playing the part of the man, and we don't know his name from Scripture in John 5, but the man who day after day went to the healing pool at Bethesda. It was called the healing pool. You'll find out a little bit more about that in a minute. But this man, again, we don't know his name, but he went day after day for years and years and years, and one day Jesus showed up. And I'm going to play the part of him and what happened to him. So I'm going to go down, and I'm going to transform into the man at the healing pool. The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and their darkness left to stay. But more than their blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, he seems like just an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. And the words he says are hard to understand. And yet he seems like just an ordinary man. The gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks in town who followed him, they say that the gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way. Yes, that day the gentle healer came. He changed my life. You see, there's this place called the pool. Well, I guess you know it as the healing pool, the pool of Bethesda. It's known by several names in these parts, as you know. I had heard all my life that it had these magical properties. Something about it, at a certain time, you'd go down near the pool and the waters would stir in it. And some even said there was angels that would come down and all this, but it was supposed to heal. Well, you know, me being crippled all my life, I just knew I wanted to walk again. So you can understand why I would try to make my way to the pool as often as I could. Day after day and year after year, if I could somehow scratch my way down near the pool, I'd do it. And day after day and year after year, I would try to figure out how I might get down to the water at just the right time. You know, when it stirred like they said it would, and when the angels, which I never saw, but they would supposedly come down. And I would try and try to get down there. You know, it might sound easy. I mean, I can. At that time, I could pull myself along and get along pretty good. And I would pull as far as I could, but then the crowds would get in the way and somebody would trample on me a little bit and I couldn't see a way. I'd look over this way and that way and I'd get tired and I just kind of got tired of trying. You see? You know, where I grew up, there just seemed like a lot of people like me that needed to get healed and be at the pool. And every time I remember going down there, there was just so many people. I guess you'd call it a multitude. I just never could even see my way to get close. You know, sometimes I would really be determined and I'd work so hard and again, I'd be pulling and pulling along and I'd even get there early and I'd look for the right time and I would just think, you know, I'm going to get up to the stairs and I don't care what happens. I'm just going to throw myself off and if I get injured more, I get injured more, but at least maybe I'll get some of that healing water on me. But it just never worked. Sometimes I would get so tired of trying and struggling, I'd just fall asleep right there. After several years of that, I guess I got a little comfortable. Well, no, not comfortable. Wait a minute. I don't know exactly how to tell you, but I just didn't have the same expectations that I used to have of that healing pool. Nothing ever happened, it just seemed like. I'd barely ever seen the waters move, really. I mean, I don't know if it was healing or not. Oh, I'd hear the pandemonium, and I'd hear the trampling, and I'd dodge, and you know. But I just didn't have it in me to keep going. I just kind of gave up. I became very discouraged. And then the gentle healer came. Oh man, it was different when he came. You know, his name is Jesus. I had heard about him. I mean, everybody's heard about him. I had heard some of the things he had done and everybody said it was true. He came into town and there was just something about him now. I'm going to tell you. There was something about him. You know, I actually got my hopes up a little bit when the gentle healer came. You know, I thought he'll be the one to go through that multitude and carry me down to the pool. He'll be the one. He can do it. He'll take me down to that pool. But you know, believe it or not, as quickly as I got my hopes up, even though the gentle healer Jesus was there, I still became discouraged. And my hopes dropped again. You know, I just figured this man's probably going to just help somebody else. And so I hung my head. And then it happened. I hung my head and about that time I could see a shadow. And I could just kind of feel a presence. I don't know if I felt his body heat or what, but you know who it was, don't you? It was Jesus. He'd walked up on me. And I didn't quite know he was there. I just knew somebody was there. And when I looked up, I looked into his eyes. And oh, he was looking at me with the Jesus look, you know. And I'm telling you, it was something. And then it just happened. As he was staring at me, I could see in his eyes a compassion and a love like I'd never seen before. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was almost speechless, like the cat had got my tongue or something. I just looked at him with that compassion and love as he looked down at me. Then he asked me the strangest question. Do you want to get well? Well, I got to tell you, that wasn't the question I was expecting. I thought he was going to ask me, you want me to carry you down to the pool? And I was ready to say, yeah, let's go. But he didn't ask me that. There was something to that question. Kind of puzzled me. Kind of bothered me. I thought he might say, you want to walk again? And I was ready to say, yeah, I want to walk again. He didn't ask me that. He asked me if I wanted to get well. Well, now that had a whole different bunch of stuff in it altogether. It was more than my crippled legs, you see. I don't know how, but when he looked at me, it was one of those looks that I could tell he knew all about me. He knew way more than just about my crippled legs. He looked down to the center of my being. Kind of messed me up. kind of made me emotional. I didn't really know how to handle it. But he knew that not only my legs were crippled, but my life was crippled. You know what I did? The first thing I said was the same thing I'd said over and over. He asked me that question, and I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but I said this to him. I don't have anyone to help me, Jesus. Everybody else gets to the pool before me. You know, I said that to Jesus, the gentle healer. Isn't that silly? That's what I said to him. You know what I was saying to him with those words? I've given up. It's not going to change. It's too much for me, Jesus. It's too big. I've been struggling with it too long. I can't handle it anymore. I don't think you can even fix it. That's when he spoke to me again. And he had an authority like nothing I'd ever heard before. He said to me, "Get up. Take your mat and walk." And you know what I did? I got up. Amen. And I took my mat and I walked. I want to share with you three observations from the story of the healing pool. Now that story just gets a hold of me, as you can tell. Because there's some things there that I believe God put there to define every human being. You see, it's in John chapter 5. I see some of you looking to turn there, and I want you to turn there in your copy of God's Word. John chapter 5. And we'll be reading, starting with the, let's start with verse 4. I've given you most of the other details in the little story there, but I want to pause for a minute and I just want to pray. You pray with me. Lord Jesus, you're the healer and you are here tonight. I thank you that the gentle healer is here. Lord Jesus, there's not a person in the sound of my voice that doesn't need your healing in some way in their life. From young to old, we all need you, Lord Jesus. We acknowledge that right now. We open up our hearts and minds for you to teach us and to give us victory this evening, right here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to read with me these scriptures, and then we're going to kind of look at them a little closer. Let's start reading here in verse 4. An angel went down at a certain time into the pool, or so they thought, and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Oh, I love it. I want to share with you three observations from this story of the healing pool. First one we just read, the man's struggle had lasted a long time. Now I want you to know something, and I don't even have to tell you this. A struggle can seem like a long time, even if it hadn't been a long time. Because a struggle, if it's a real struggle that's burdening you down, it doesn't have to be a week. And it's got you. It's done whooped you. And you're feeling heavy with it. Okay? But this man had been struggling 38 years. There's some people in this room, it hadn't been a week, it's been months. And then it's gone to years. And it's a struggle that's still there. And they wrestle with it, and they feel burdened by it. I have felt that way before, and most of you have. A struggle can reshape your life. Now, Jesus wants to reshape your life with struggles in a good way. But a lot of times, on the process of that, there's some other reshaping that happens. And sometimes it doesn't feel very good. And sometimes the consequences don't seem very good. But I remember right now, and I want you to remember with me what Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Now keep that in mind. That's true. It's true. Even if it doesn't feel true, it's true. It's true. It's true. You know, I use the word struggle here, but I wonder what word you'd plug into that today as you think about your life. I know that already you've had opportunity to see some of the truths from this man's story, the man at the pool. I know you've been able to reflect, okay? I know maybe that some of you have kind of felt like that man, felt like you're in a struggle that you couldn't get out of. What word do you assign to your struggle? Is it a tragedy? Is it a trauma that's happened in your life? Okay? Is it turmoil that's going on in your life? Is it a bad habit? Is it an addiction that you're dealing with? Is it a besetting sin? Boy, there's a churchy word. You know what that is, don't you? It's a sin that just keeps coming, creeping back into your life. You want with all your heart to lick it, but you can't lick it. It just creeps back in. You find yourself going, how am I doing this or saying this again? Lord, this is a stronghold. Help me, Jesus. How am I looking at this problem again? As much as I want rid of it, help me, Jesus. It might be that your struggle is a little word, a little ugly four-letter word, P-A-S-T, the past. Nasty word. A word that the devil, who's also called the accuser, loves to rub your face in. What's happened in the past? The past might be yesterday. Past might be 20 years ago, but still the past. Can't change it. But the devil rubs your face into it. Maybe that's the struggle. Or maybe it's big mistakes. Maybe it's one, maybe it's a lot of them. Oh, my big mistakes. Which kind of has to do with the past, doesn't it? You see, it doesn't matter which word you assign to your struggle. It feels like sometimes ain't nothing going to change. Ain't nothing going to happen. I want you to understand something. That even if you feel like no one understands, you feel like you're not making any progress with this struggle, if you feel like nothing is changing with this struggle, that is a lie from the devil. Just simply said, it is a lie from the devil. Okay, you've probably heard this little acronym. You see, with our struggles and with these things that come with thinking about our past and wanting it to change, there's this big word, another ugly four-letter word called fear. Okay? All right? It links up right with the past. Okay? What if I make this same mistake again? What if I never get over this? What if I never see victory in my life from this issue? You see, fear. You know what fear is? False evidence that appears real. You've probably heard that before, but I just felt like I ought to say it again. Fear is false evidence that appears real. The devil makes it appear real, but it's not. There's a beautiful song that's been out for just a few years. If you listen to Christian radio, you might have heard it. It's by a group called Casting Crowns. It's called The Voice of Truth. It says this, "The voice of truth tells me a different story." The voice of truth. Well, I just forgot the words. Help me out. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Okay? The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. This is for my glory. Can God get glory out of a struggle that lasts for months and years and feels like it's never going away? Oh, my goodness. Can He? Listen. He wants to. He's got plans for that, you see. That's the awesome thing about Jesus. He takes the garbage that happens to people and turns it into something amazing. What did He do in Joseph's life back in the Old Testament? What did God do in his life? He took one struggle after another and one setback after another and ended up putting him second in command to Pharaoh. And doing wondrous things through his life, through the life of Joseph. And the stories go on and on. Jesus wants to take our struggles and turn them into victories. Look at verse 6 again with me. Let's read it again together. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Jesus knew the crippled man's life story, and guess what? He knows yours too. Every detail, He knows it. And if He was all that terribly wrathful about it, He'd have already snuffed you out. Do you understand? He can do that. I'm not telling you that He scoffs at sin. If you think the Lord doesn't hate sin, you hadn't read the Bible. But you need to understand that right alongside the hate that He has for your sin is the love that He has for the sinner. He loves you and He wants to restore you. You see, he went through temptation. It was something He could relate to. That's why our religion, if you want to call it that, is so unique to all the other religions. We have a Savior that's been there. Amen? He has felt the infirmities that we feel, yet was without sin. You see, He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Word says. He's touched with them. They're heavy on His heart. You see, He's compassionate. What did He do? More than one time, but one time in particular I'm remembering in the New Testament when He looked across Jerusalem and He saw them, and His description of them were they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He was looking on people that were sinful, into carnality, into pagan religions, into all kinds of trash that had had chances to know who the one true God was. He was looking at the nation of Israel who had a whole history of how God had done miraculous and wonderful things, yet they still turned away. And what did Jesus say about them? They are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if you don't understand that that is mercy, then you don't understand what I'm saying. That is the mercy of Christ that He has. He had that same mercy for that man, that crippled man at the pool that day. And He has that mercy for you. He knows your story. He knows what you've done. He doesn't want you to think it's all okay and that you can continue in it, but He wants you to know, I love you, child. I will take you from where you are to where I want you to be. I can do that, and only I. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He says. You know what? He understands tiredness. He understands fatigue from wrestling with issues, whether they be physical or emotional or family struggles, whatever they might be. He understands tiredness. He knows what pain is. My goodness. Think about Him, what He went through, walking down the Via Dolorosa, beaten half to death, carrying a cross. And He stumbles from the weight of it and the pain. There's tiredness and pain right there. You can see it in your mind as He stumbles down and has to be lifted up and assisted to carry the cross the rest of the way. Before that even happened, do you know that He knew every bit of it was going to happen? If you've studied the Bible, you know this. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what was He praying? Don't let this happen to me, God. I know what's about to happen. I don't want it to happen. I know how it's going to feel. Take it from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. See, He knows what it is to be tired with pain and agony and dread. He knows what it is to wake up knowing what might happen or what has already happened and wrestle with that. He knows about being at the end of your rope. How many have ever said, I've had it? Anybody ever said, I've had it? How many have ever said, I can't do this anymore? Jesus knows your pain. He knows how you feel. I want you to look in your copy of the Scripture in Hebrews for just a moment. I need you to remember, if you don't have something to write with, to try to remember these verses or maybe put down a note. These are two verses that I want to encourage you with. Hebrews 2:18. You may want to put a little mark there in your Bible or write it down. Understand our Savior. Here's what it says about Him in Hebrews 2:18. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. You see, we have a Savior who has been there, who knows what you're feeling. And then also in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Now that high priest there is talking about Christ. He is our high priest. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then read verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, the crippled man, he was in such a state that he couldn't come boldly to Jesus. So Jesus came to him. When Peter, who was there seeing the power of Jesus in the miracles that he'd done on the boat, he had to turn away. He said, I'm a sinful man. When Isaiah was faced with the light of the glory of God, he said, I am undone. You see, the love of Jesus and His glory can make us feel like we are not worthy. Make us kind of shrivel back with the burden of our sin and our heaviness. But that's why Jesus said what He did. Take up your mat and walk. You see, we don't have to come to Him all with everything together. We don't have to come to Him with a mindset that is pointed in the right direction. I know the truth and I'm speaking it in faith. Well, great, I hope you are, but sometimes you're not going to speak a thing but despair. And Jesus can handle it. You see, He can still say to you, get up, take your mat and walk. So, we have struggles for a long time sometimes, just like the man at the pool. We have a Savior who knows every detail of our story. And we also have a Savior who still heals us. You know, Jesus is still healing people. He's still healing people physically. He's still healing people emotionally and spiritually. He is still healing people. That's not something that happened a long time ago that we can read about in the Word of God. He is still doing it. I believe tonight He's doing it. I think He wants tonight, part of the reason that God laid this message on my heart is I believe He wants to put a seed of victory in people's lives tonight. Now, it might not happen just like the crippled man, where he said, get up and walk, and right then he got up and walked. Sometimes it happens that way, praise the Lord. But sometimes, Jesus just wants you to know, I've got something going in your life. You just hang in there. You stay with me. I've got some victory I've started in your life. You just stay with me. It's happening. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it's happening. Be encouraged. That's the message I believe Jesus has for some of you tonight. But I've got to ask you a question. You see, the crippled man had some, and it doesn't say this in the Word of God, but when I read the Word of God, I like to kind of see the picture of what might be happening. That's why I did what I did there. All that's not there in those few verses. But I think that very likely in the mind of that crippled beggar was the voice of the devil doing the same thing to him that he does to us, whispering lies. He is the accuser, I've already reminded you. He's the adversary. He's the father of all lies. So when he comes to you with this, I want you to tell him to get away. Get thee behind me, Satan, when he says you'll never be rid of this. You tell him, in the name of Jesus, get behind me. Because you're lying to me, Satan. when he whispers, you can't have peace in this matter. There'll be no peace in this matter. Tell him he's a liar. Amen. Tell him he's a liar and that victory is found in Christ. The healer is here. When he says, you have messed up too bad and too many times, tell him he's a liar to get out of the way. That Jesus has given me victory. He's doing a work in me, devil. You shut up. Whenever he says, oh boy, you know, we use this one. Oh my goodness, we take this and right out of the Word of God and just wring it out and make it ugly. It's my thorn in the flesh. We don't mean that a bit more than nothing. We're struggling and hating every minute of it. And we're going to sound all spiritual. Well, it's the cross I must bear. We want to spit at it. That's what we want to do. Because it's awful. Don't spiritualize it. Just say it for what it is. It's killing me, Jesus. I need your help. Yeah, I don't see anything pretty about it. I don't want to see on one more marquee, we're too blessed to be depressed. I don't want to see that, Jesus. I don't want to hear that. I want you to give me some victory and some peace in this matter and help me through it. Jesus is all about, even in 2010, He's all about healing. He's all over it. I mean, He wants to do it more than we give Him credit for. He wants to open the floodgates of healing and victory and excitement and joy in the Lord like we've not seen it. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He does. He wants to say to the bondage of the devil, you'll have no reign over my child. That's why he said in Romans 6, sin shall no longer have reign over your mortal body. It's right there in Romans 6. You can read it for yourself. You know where all this comes from? All this past and all these problems and all these struggles and all this complacency and lack of joy? It's a sin issue. And Jesus did away with sin once and for all. And it shall not have reign over your mortal body any longer. I want you to claim the victory tonight. I'm not talking about some kind of prosperity preaching. I'm not doing any feel-good theology or anything like this. You're not going to walk out the door tonight and just be lifted up into a cloud and never have any problems anymore. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of joy that could cause Paul to sing as he's waiting his death sentence in a nasty prison cell. It's a joy that knows Jesus has got my back. He knows everything I've done and still loves me. He's got mercy every morning that's brand new that He wants to shower all over me so that I can feel it and rub it all over my body and rise from my prayer closet feeling refreshed and renewed. I can make it because of Jesus. That's the kind of victory He wants you to have in your life. That's what He has for you, my friend. He is all about restoring joy and restoring hope and restoring faith. Three things that the devil steals away and will work your lifetime to steal from you. He will steal your hope. He will use every crafty, deceitful way he can do it. If he can steal your hope through temptation that you succumb to, he will steal your hope with temptation. If he can steal it from tragedies, he'll steal it. He'll squash your joy down. He'll steal your faith. Even when you hear it from friends who are trying to minister to you, he tries to take what they're saying with their loving words and stomp it out and snuff it out because he is a liar. He's a liar. Do you understand? Stop his lies tonight by saying, Jesus, get him out of my life. I want your victory, Jesus. I want you to watch a video, and we're going to come to our time of invitation. You see, the gentle healer is here, and he has a mighty work to do in each of your lives. Watch this video with me.
Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there was a pool. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One man who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Once the man was cured.
The gentle healer is here. His name is Jesus. He loves you. Every bit of you. No matter what you've done. No matter what you're going through. No matter what's been done to you. He wants you to know He is working to bring you victory over these struggles. Even when you feel like giving up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose your faith. And if you have, ask Him to give it back to you, and He will richly do so. Tonight's invitation is like this. It's time to come to this altar and pour out our hearts. I want you to pray out to God. You can pray aloud to Him. You can pray silently. I want you to just come without any reservation Don't worry about the time. Don't worry about who's looking. They don't know if you're coming to pray with somebody or pray about yourself. They don't know. The invitation is for you to come. If you need prayer for yourself, for victory over struggles and things that are just weighing you down, come for that. Some of you are going to feel a touch of the Spirit that you need to gather around and pray with somebody. Maybe put a hand on their shoulder and begin to pray for them. Some of you came prepared for that tonight. That's what God has you here for, to pray over someone, to touch them and to love on them. Some of you are going to come down here and you're going to be pouring out and weeping for another person because you know what they're going through. And some of you are just going to come pouring out for yourselves. There may even be some coming because they know, I don't have Jesus. I don't have the healer working in my life. I've never invited Him to. And you're going to be coming praying, Jesus, come into my life for the first time. I've heard about You. I know what I should have done. But I've been like that beggar for years. Just kind of stopped in my place with no hope. The altar is open. Let's come and pour out to the Lord. Brother Dana is going to lead us in a song that fits very well. Change my heart, O God. And as you hear, as soon as you hear it begin to play and he begins to sing, come to this altar. Let's pour out our hearts to God together. Let's pray. Father, I do not want any hindrance to Your Spirit tonight. In the name of Jesus, I ask You to work. Continue working in mighty ways, Lord. Let this be a family who wants to come together and share one another's burdens and pour out our hearts to You. That's what this altar is for. Let us come now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You.
We're going to continue this time of prayer. I believe that there are some other people who maybe for whatever reason have been hesitant to come and just pour out their needs or another person's needs at the altar. And this is not the magic pool. I'm not saying that. But there's just something about publicly going and gathering with other believers at this place of prayer and pouring your heart out to God. So I want to invite you one more time as we continue to pray. If God is nudging you to come down here and pray for someone or to be prayed for, don't wait another minute. Come on.
You are the potter. I am the clay. Please. mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wants to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. To know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a glorious night it has been, because of the Spirit of God and His mighty power, because of His mercy. Think about His mercy. Think about His love. He gives hope back from the one who stole it. He gives back faith. He gives back strength and courage from the one who stole it, who is the devil, the adversary. He undergirds you. He has brand new mercies for when you wake up in the morning. Brand new. Trust Him. Trust Him.